everybody. Welcome to the Overseas Connection, episode 142. Today is November 15th, 2011, and we are your official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And I'm your host, Greg DeLacy. Joining me this week, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Really? 142?
142, no joke.
Holy crap, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. I'm Chris Matthew, and I like to play games.
Thanks for being here, Chris. We appreciate it. You can collect your pin at the end of the meeting. Cool. Also joining us for the gaming addiction today, Mr. Richard Primrose.
All right.
All right.
How's it going?
It's going great, Rich. You sound tired. You sound just like you need an energy boost.
No, I'm all right. I heard all them young sprightly chaps you had on last week, so I thought I'd just bring it back down to earth again. This is gaming for the elderly, after all.
Age it up a little.
Yeah, man.
Hey, well, you know, we were desperate. You know, we were reaching out to all corners of the earth for somebody from the British Isles, and sadly, I completely forgot that I have Marcanix on my WhatsApp phone application. Could have called him, but
no,
I didn't.
You called him tonight, didn't you?
I did, and you know what he told me? He said no.
You missed your chance, Greg.
No, what he actually said was, thanks, Dick, I'm at work.
Pretty much. Yeah. He saw you should have called last week.
You ain't getting no mechanics loving.
Yeah. No mechanics loving. You know what else we're not getting some loving from today? Chinny. Mr. Mike Chin. No Mike Chin today. Ironically, he's not off doing British things today.
No?
No, he's going to be off doing French things today.
Really?
Or tomorrow, I guess, really, is the more appropriate time frame. Yeah, heading off to France. He said he's going to be doing some filming of famous personalities, which is cover up for he's filming goats doing sexual things that he can't speak of. It always comes back to goats, guys. Always comes back to goats. I did, however,
think maybe that's you, Greg.
It might be. It very well could be.
The goats.
We did talk to Mr. Chin, though, or I did, I should say, earlier today. And so as we jump into what we've been playing, we'll be hearing from Mike. I'll play that first, and then we'll dive into what we've been playing. So, I don't know. Why don't we just talk about what we've been playing?
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
Mike,
sir,
what have you been playing?
Right. Sorry I can't be on the show this week, Greg, but I have been playing Modern Warfare 3, Battlefield 3, Shadow of the Colossus, Eco, and Dead Island. I played all of those, and I've almost finished all of them.
Holy shit, okay. So let's start with oldest to newest. So
Shadow of the Colossus,
yeah,
is the one I played before, and Eco. I finished Eco, whatever. Eco's Eco. Right, but Shadow of the Colossus, I think it's a very good idea for a game, but not as good as Eco. You know what I mean? The controls are quite awkward. Pretty much, but it's still a good game.
Okay.
And then Battlefield 3 is rather insulting how much it is similar to Modern Warfare 3, because like the single player is just like almost like all the tropes of a Call of Duty game they just stole. Modern Warfare 3, really enjoyed that. I thought that was a brilliant romp. I think you played that, didn't you, Greg?
Yep.
Yeah. And I'll talk about Dead Island in detail. I've got notes here, Greg. Notes of Dead Island.
Notes, right? No less.
But I will say, first of all, about Dead Island is it shocked me at how good it was.
Okay.
I went in thinking, meh, but I came out going, this is a great game, a fantastic game. There's a few glitches in the game. There's one mission where we had to get a man out of a car. He was trapped in a car.
Okay.
Right? And this would have been fine, but the problem was the man was already outside the car when he was asking to be... So that was a bit dodgy. Combat takes a little bit getting used to, but it's fun. And it's also especially fun in co-op, beating the shit out of a couple of zombies with your mates.
Now,
it's very like, it's, Go on.
Are you using the analog sticks?
Am I, bollocks? I'm just pressing right trigger.
Okay.
Never mind. I'm doing that analog stuff. It's very much like Borderlands. The interface is very Borderlands. The inventory is Borderlands. And it's one of the most realistic zombie games I've ever played. Because you do feel like you're surviving. You know, you're gathering food and water, and you're walking down. There aren't many guns. You know, if there was a real zombie apocalypse, I don't imagine there'd be guns just lying everywhere, you know. So it did feel pretty realistic. The weapon variety isn't that great. I mean, you've got bats, blunt objects, sharp objects, and some guns. Missions are cool. The side quests are a little bit backtracky, back and forth. Go get me a teddy bear. Go get me some alcohol. I'm like, go fucking get it yourself. there's a thing called Fury. If you press the B button, press and hold it. That's another thing about some of the controls. It doesn't tell you how to do it. It never told me how to kick someone, right, which is the left bumper. Never told me about the Fury. I just had to kind of guess it. And you hold the B button and you unlock like a mad – you just go on a mad rampage, and my character just goes on this mad punching rampage, which is brilliant. And you can like unlock skill trees where you get to a point where you can just like smash them and they go flying, which is funny. Fast travel is literally fast travel, Greg. It barely even loads when it fast travels.
That's nice.
Unless it's in a different, like, there's like, you know, GTA 3, how you had, like, there's different islands, and every time you'd skip to a different island, it would load a loading screen.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's what this game does. It has, like, three different sections, and you'd have to go through a loading screen to get to each one of those. But if you want to fast travel to, I mean, the maps are pretty big on their own, so if you want to fast travel to the top of one, to the bottom of the other, it just fades in and out. And the same thing happens when you jump into somebody's co-op game. The game barely loads. It just fades down and fades back up again. When you jump into somebody else's game, you don't even know. Like it happens so fast, you're like, am I in already? Really? The map is shit. The sat nav is shit. Like it just changes every time you walk down a path. You can make custom weapons. They're cool because you can like make electronic knives that just electrocute everything and all craziness, barbed wire, baseball bats. There's a bit of popping with the graphics.
What about guns? I mean, do they come into play later on? Or
yeah,
have you not got to them yet?
There's a bit in the... I went on an 11-hour binge of this game. Honestly, on Saturday, right, my friend who I play it with, me and Marsh, we very rarely get to play games together because he works away a lot now, right?
Right.
And he says, like, Saturday... His missus on a hen do, right? He says, okay. I'm not at work. I am just going to play games all day. And we play Dead Island 4. I've got it written down. 11 hours, 16 minutes and 56 seconds with one 30-minute break.
Okay.
So we went, and since then, we've played it probably another 5 or 6 hours. And we've done like almost every side mission, everything. We're on the last kind of section in the jungle now. And there's something cool about like hitting zombies with bats instead of like shooting them with guns, you know what I mean? Because to answer your question, Greg, the guns are okay. The gunplay is about the same as it is in Call of Juarez, who they made the same game. It's not perfect, it's not great, but it works okay. But you very rarely have guns anyway. And if you do have them, it's most likely pistols. You know, there are some automatic weapons, but not many. And ammo is pretty sparse, to be fair. And there's just something cool about when a zombie's running at you, Greg, and you're running at the zombie, and you're like, fucking, come on then. Like, you know, like a proper fight. Right, you know what I mean? Like, come on. And there are sections when it dips and gets a little bit boring. You know what I mean? It gets a little bit like, I'm not sure. But it's if you just stuck with the story missions, because we did a lot of side missions, it would be fine. But yeah, I love Dead Island, Greg. Love it.
Okay, so here's a question for you. I mean, Dead Island did not fare well on Metacritic. And I know we all picked it to be, you know, towards the bottom of Metacritic in our little, you know, review or preview of the holiday games. But my question to you, do you think you're benefiting from kind of post-release patches that's making this game better?
Well, apparently the co-op didn't work very well at all when the game was released. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It apparently it was pretty poor. Like, people who would lose missions and lose saves of 2 hours. But if this is how the game I imagine should have worked, you know. And okay. To be fair to reviewers, when game developers review the game, they review them early, and they usually review them on a kind of like a sister version of Xbox Live, you know, like just like journalists. And so I'm sure you know about that, Greg. You know, sure. It's like their own kind of press version of Xbox Live, the developer version. And like, so it should have worked on there. So I'm guessing just the review score is just based on, I mean, I think the reason why it would probably be knocked down is, because of the trailer that it had, you know, the epic trailer that it had.
Yeah. I never really held that against it. I mean, you know,
some people did though. I think.
I know. I definitely would agree with you. I think it was a little unfair, but
I think some people kind of had that trailer in mind and wanted that trailer, but they got something else, you know? But I think it's brilliant. Like the way it works, like co-op, it's flawless. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not completely flawless in terms of like a technical aspect of it. You know, sometimes it's crashed maybe 2 or 3 times, but when it works properly, it's like one of the most fluid co-op experiences I've ever had.
Okay. Is the storyline just to get off the island?
The storyline, yeah, is pretty much like you're 4 people, like kind of banded together, and you want to get off, and then this person can help you, or you go to the city, but you got to get him food and water, and then you go to the city, and things are a little bit different, and then you got to go to the police station, and then you go to like the jungle, and then like, the person at the jungle is trying to cure his wife, and when you cure his wife, he's going to get out of here, and you can go with him, kind of thing. That's it. That's pretty much it. It's not much of a story. You don't really need one. You just need an excuse to keep the shit out of zombies. And it's a good feeling. Like there's something about beating up zombies with like bats. You know what I mean? Something cool about it. I don't know what it is, but like it's just so much cooler than shooting them. You know what I mean? You just like really like you hit something. You're like, yeah, like, I got him. You know?
Well, because so, and this also has like deforming of the character. So I mean, as you start whacking away at a zombie, you can literally break off a limb.
Oh yeah, like the thing is, it depends on what kind of weapon you use as well. So my bloke, who I'm playing as, he specializes in blunt weapons, right? So I use blunt weapons more because my skill tree is based around blunt weapons,
right?
So if I'm smacking zombies with blunt weapons, I'm more likely to break their limbs. And the funniest thing, Greg, is when you break a zombie's both arms, and them arms are just flopping around, right?
Right.
And all the zombie can do is literally just kind of headbutt you, right? And there's been moments where me and Marsh found out that one of these zombies has got broken arms. We keep him alive, kill all the other zombies around him, right? And then we just kind of play with him a bit and try and break his legs as well. You know? And it's just so stupid, right? But it's such a guilty kind of like pleasure. Right.
But you can almost see you would be doing this in real life if you lived, you know,
maybe
during the zombie apocalypse,
like Zombieland, and sort of dead. Like it's kind of like, you know, what you probably do. And I just think it offers something. It's definitely one game this year that offers something that I haven't really seen before, you know. And even Portal 2 is something that I've seen before, right? But Dead Island, I've never really seen. I mean, the closest is Borderlands. But to be fair, that's just the menu system and where your weapons are and how the XP works. But the actual playing of the game, I've never really – the closest of a gameplay standpoint is probably Condemned. You know what I mean? Like just punching a lot. But this is so much deeper than that. It just goes mad with the like how detailed it is. Like you broke a bone, and if you use a sharp object like a knife, you can cut their limbs off. It's great.
So this is maybe a recommend to pick up on the cheap or at least rent it?
I don't think it's going to be very expensive anymore.
Yeah.
You could probably get it for 30 quid, maybe even 25. Maybe like $30, $40.
Maybe even cheaper with Black Friday and Boxing Day and all that stuff coming up.
I think if you like Borderlands, if anybody likes Borderlands, right, and they've gone they like Borderlands and they missed this one, I think they'd like – this is definitely like a Christmas present or something. Like they should treat themselves.
Okay.
It's great. I love it.
All right. Let's see. Looking to the future, what is on the horizon for you?
Skyrim.
Skyrim. I kind of knew this ahead of time, so that's why I wanted to ask. So are you excited? Are you kind of...
This is funny, right? Because I had a very kind of, not super serious, but I had a business meeting today, right, about the kind of where I am with my business because I'm on right. this startup program and everything. And the guy, I recently found out, is an absolute nerd, right?
Okay. And
as soon as we walked in, he said to me, have you played Skyrim yet? All right, no. He says, I was interested, he's a Geordie guy, he goes, I was interested in, like, you know, what character you were going to pick at all this. And I was like, no, I haven't picked it yet. And then he's like me, he didn't like Oblivion, he doesn't like all the fantasy stuff, but he loved Fallout. Right. Apparently he's liking the Skyrim as well.
Okay.
So, Skyrim is next.
Are you making an elf character?
You want me to do this, don't you?
Well, basically because you hate elves. I just felt it was appropriate.
Stuart said to me last night, he was like, just make a warrior. That's what you're used to. I don't know.
Make a warrior elf? There you go.
Can you?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, no, I don't know. I didn't know they could be combined.
Yeah, you're going to see, you know, and we're going to be talking about this, of course, within this podcast, but for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to be interested to see how you feel this world compares to, say, a Grand Theft Auto in terms of open world, go anywhere, do anything kind of scenario. I'm very curious to get your thoughts back on this. I don't want to taint your impressions. I mean, I know I've already kind of spewed some love towards this game over the old Twitter, but I'm very curious to hear your impressions when you get back from France, and hopefully you'll have Skyrim by then. And
I've got it now.
Oh well, fuck! What are you doing? Get off this podcast and go play.
No, I'm gonna go to bed. I've had it since last Saturday, I think.
What? And you have not put it in yet?
No, well, I was either going to put this in or I was going to put Dead Island in. I played Dead Island for 11 hours, so.
I suppose.
Yeah. All right. But, I'm looking forward to it. I will play it. So the thing is, I don't want to play it too much because I'm renting it, right? So if I keep it for like 4 months, I might as well bought it by then, you know. I'll play it for a bit. If I get on with it and I really like it, I'll just end up sending it back and buying it when it's a little bit cheaper or something.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't think I'll dislike it, to be honest.
I don't know because you have this definite aversion to the fantasy realm. So this is going to be an interesting experiment, if you will. Real quick, Battlefield, I know you talked about it briefly, but Battlefield 3 and Modern Warfare 3, who comes out king in your eyes?
Modern Warfare.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I felt dirty when I bought Modern Warfare, Greg. Right? It was kind of like paying a prostitute, right? We've all been there. So I bought it, right? And I got it and I felt guilty and I looked at it and I was like, I know you're bad for me. Right, and I know that all the money doesn't go to you; it goes to somebody higher than you. But you look so good, and I'm gonna have a great time with you. All right, and I don't care about the cigarette burns, and I don't care about the little minor things. But you just look great, and I played with you, and I think the multiplayer. I mean, it's hard the multiplayer because everybody's better than I am.
Right.
But, so there's a big learning curve now with Call of Duty. But I love it. I think the single player is great. I think it's such a, I mean, it's, from a story standpoint, it's ridiculous. But, it kind of wraps up nicely and, I think they kind of calmed it. I mean, it's still kind of, you know, craziness, but it's a little bit more, less James Bondy, you know what I mean? And they definitely do something in the game to make sure that these people aren't indestructible. You know what I mean? Like these people are soldiers and their lives are at risk.
Agreed. So, and they definitely got away from Black Ops to me, felt a little like they were going down that we're going to turn this into a super spy kind of story. And I was happy to see Modern Warfare getting back to the war. You know,
there's one part on a plane that I just went, oh my God, that looks so good.
Yes, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I just looked at it. When it happened, when the thing happened, I was like, Jesus, that's that's nuts, you know? So yeah. I think it's great. I do think Modern Warfare 3 is a better package. You know, I played some of the Spec Ops as well, and they're good. I'd still love Battlefield 3, but I think the multiplayer is fine, but the single player is just so contrived and trying to look over the shoulder of Infinity Ward and copy them. And, you know, it just feels like a proper shorn experience that it just didn't have any identity. It didn't feel like a Battlefield single player. It didn't feel like anything original. It just felt blah, you know. And I instantly forgot most of it, and I played both of them back to back. And I remember a lot of Call of Duty, but I forgot a lot of Battlefield, you know. So
yeah, no, the only thing I remember from Battlefield 3 so far, and I have not finished it. Yeah, I actually haven't finished either campaign so far, but I've played a good chunk of both. Battlefield 3 to me was just difficult getting through that single player. Like I felt like I was forcing myself to play it, whereas Modern Warfare 3, I've been enjoying it, and I wanted to play some more. I just got basically sidetracked with life before I could get more into the multiplayer. Single player.
Yeah.
All right, excellent.
Yeah, man.
All right, well, any parting shots you want to – words of wisdom you'd like to give to the boys or the listeners?
I'm sorry I can't be on, all right, everyone, but I'm sure most people are happy about that. it's tough. It's a tough life. You know, work calls. I've managed to play some games as well this week. But at least I got on somehow.
Yes, you did. You did take part. Now, yes. I do want you to know, you have to listen to the show, because there is a review. We've got some iTunes reviews, and one specifically talks to you, speaking to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it good or bad?
It's definitely good for us.
Good for you.
Good for the podcast.
All right. Okay.
It's not a slight in any way. You'll just have to listen.
I will. Yeah. I will listen in.
All right. Well, Chinny, travel safe to France.
Yes.
And I guess there's not much more to say other than get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Bye. Sorry. Au revoir.
Mr. Primrose, it is, I guess it's your time to talk. Yeah.
Yes. I'll go for mine quickly then. I've been playing Orcs Must Die still. Still loving that. Great. Had a bit of a dabble with Harry Potter, years 5 to 7.
Was this a child-induced playthrough?
Yeah, I was playing
it for the kids.
Playing it with the boy, yeah. And, nice. It was very good. It was funny to see that it had been obviously influenced by Limbo, because part of it at the beginning, it got the old silhouette effect, side-scrolling.
There's a bit where you have to walk under a broom forwards without bending forwards?
No.
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 Not that kind of Limbo, I'm sorry.
No.
No.
None of that. But yeah, it did very blatantly ripped off a bit of that style. But yeah, they did it quite well. I also tried Fusion.
Oh, yeah. Fusion. I gave that a little dabble.
Yeah, I think it might be okay to delve into it. It's just I don't think I was in the mood for playing it at the time. But, it was all right. I like the control scheme and how you it was very hand-holdy.
Yes.
Showing around the demo. But I suppose once you've gone through that bit, it opens up to you.
I mean, to describe it, would you say it's like a twin-stick top-down shooter?
Yeah. I mean, it was describing itself as a role-playing type game, and I was like, well, yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I didn't get the role-playing feel.
No, because all I am is a clump of metal at the end of the day. which is so basically, you're a ship floating around, and you're being guided by persons unknown who are part of the base that you're around, and they're telling you to go and get things and stuff. And it seemed quite good. The graphics and everything were really good. Yeah. Controls were okay as well, and I could see that you was obviously going to get power-ups and stuff, and you could do various things by mining elements within the play area. And it did seem as if it would be quite interesting to explore, but I've got too much to play at the minute, so
I'm not
buying that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I also kind of thought, you know what, 800 points, I wasn't that tempted with it. If it drops to, say, 400 points or maybe 600 points on a sale, I might be willing to just throw some money towards it and just pick it up. The only other critique I would have is sometimes the meteors that you were mining, it was a little hard to figure out which ones were actually going to collide with your ship versus which ones you didn't have to worry about avoiding, because they were actually in the background as opposed to on the same level with your ship.
Yeah. But, confusion in the depth of field.
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
That could also just mean not wearing glasses, though. You never know.
Yes. And I had a go at Rayman. Is it Rayman Infinite? I think it is.
I would have to say, okay, sure. I don't know.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. Like that.
This is the new one that just came out?
Yeah, it's great. It's got great music. it seems as if they've basically given you different characters to play, and you get to choose at the beginning of the level. And each one has different characteristics. It's a normal side-scrolling platformer, but it's all done very nicely. The graphics are great. Some of the animations are really good as well. Had some interesting things with waterfalls and stuff going off, which was very entertaining. And it got the J-Boy P stamp of approval. So I may get that later on down the line. Did a bit more Battlefield 3.
Okay.
Yeah, still enjoying that. Unfortunately, I'm not finding many gay people out there at the minute because everybody's done an exodus to Modern Warfare 3. I got in with a couple of good groups where we were doing some good squad work anyway, even though they're complete randoms. We had a great game on Carg Island. You know, you've got to hold that beachhead.
Right.
And it goes into the industrial area. We were caning folk on that because we had two guys set up as engineers. I was doing support class with the ammunition and everything, and had C4 set up on it as well. And another guy, I think he was on assault, doing all the medic stuff and everything. So basically we had two on each side of the beach, and if you look at the beachhead when you come in, there's a bunker, and everybody that's coming in on the landing craft and that always think that anybody that's going to be shooting at them is in that bunker. Well, all you have to do is go off to the sides and hide a bit. So what we were doing was laying down the mines and stuff on the beach. I was providing a second layer of explosives by putting down three packs of C4 where the bottleneck in the beach occurred. And we was just poning the amphibious craft that come in off the carrier. Oh, it was awesome. And they didn't take 1 point.
Really?
And I'm sure that's not just that. That was awesome. We didn't even let it get past the first put. It was on rush. So that was a great game. Yes, I'm still enjoying that. And I've started a love affair with a video game. It's the first love affair I've ever had with a video game.
Now, are you gonna let the missus know about this, or are you keeping this a tawdry secret?
She already knows.
So you've come out, you're very forward, open relationship, I see.
Yeah, me and this game have fallen deeply in love. And we can often be found at like 4 o'clock in the morning, holding hands together. Mm. The game, this is my endorsement for it. It's the first rental I've ever installed on my Xbox. And I want to talk a little bit about it because I've had a lot of misconceptions from what I heard previously. But what I have heard previously was what led me to go out and get it because I was quite intrigued. Okay. It's Dark Souls, yes. I've got Dark Souls. I love it. It's absolutely brilliant. And I told you why I love it. This everybody who's listened to me before probably heard that I'm no lover of RPG games. I've never really got into any of them. I've tried Oblivion to be one, so we'll see what happens with Skyrim. And also I gave Dragon Age a bash and couldn't get into that, but this one's completely got me. And tell you for why. The first thing that got me was the combat.
Okay.
Love the combat in it. Combat is absolutely excellent. I don't want anybody out there to think, because I know that everybody says it, that this game is really, really difficult. Although everybody has said that, I'd beg to differ. Because I think it's great at handholding you. Because what it does is, to start off with, you've got a nice tutorial level which is taking you through. It's got some scream out bastard parts where there are booby traps in this game.
Right.
But I don't know if it's my personality, but I just find them fucking hilarious. when you get wiped out by a barrel or a boulder rolling down the stairs, you knew
right.
There's nothing you could do about it, so you're just there like, yeah, I'll accept that. That's great. Cheers. Let's try all over again. But yeah, the great thing is it doesn't wind you back too far. And that's because, from what I understand it, they've introduced this bonfire system just in this game.
Right.
Now, that gives you a checkpointing system, which basically doesn't make it as frustrating, because all the time whilst you're doing the killing, you know that it's going towards getting the souls and actually leveling yourself up.
Well, Rich, if I can interject, one mm-hmm. thing, I know a lot of people were saying, it's not so much that it's a hard game, because honestly, everything that the game presents to you, you can kind of handle, with the exception of some of the enemies that you're not going to be able to. They're too powerful, but depending on your level. But everything's kind of laid out in front of you. The problem is, if you go too fast, you can die pretty quickly. And it's not – it's the punishing part of it that is the difficulty part of it. When you die, you start back at your campfire, but you have to go – if you want to get all the souls that you had when you died, you have to go back to where you died to get them.
Yeah, but there's tactics involved in that as well, because what you'll find is that you'll be in a routine of getting up to a certain point, and that's where you'll come across, say, a Black Knight or – a different kind of enemy that's got a different style of fighting, and you will get taken down there. So more often than not, you have found it completely comfortable getting to that point, so you can quite easily retrieve your souls. And all the time while you're going back to get them souls, you're amassing more souls as well. So it's – and I love the fact that you know exactly how strong them enemies are. If you're playing the game – 15 hours in, and you go back to an area where you started off, them enemies will be exactly the same level as when you started. So you can, if you wanted to do it, you can go and farm enemies to get yourself leveled up. I mean, I don't think it's a spoiler because you spoke to me about it last time we talked. There was the point where you come to the first dragon, which is the wyvern on the bridge.
Right.
So at that point, I realized I had to get a load of arrows because of the sword that you're trying to get,
right?
Because you've got to shoot the dragon in the tail. So basically, I spent an hour or so going around areas that I've been to before, and just basically farming souls so I could buy a shit ton of arrows, because I didn't know how many arrows it was going to take to do this tail. But yeah, the weapons in it and the way that you can mix up your combat is absolutely awesome. I mean, at the moment, I'm rocking some right good weapons. I've got the dragon sword, which I just picked up. But previous to that, I had a cracking battle axe. And the control system's ace, because you can stick two primary weapons on, and you select them with your D-pad. So you could have, say, a battle axe is your first primary weapon in your right arm.
Right.
And then you could switch out also onto your right arm for when you click the D-pad. You could have like a massive claymore. Now, what I did was, when I first got to the this is the beginning of the game. You come to a fire link, which is basically your first bonfire, proper bonfire in the game.
Right.
And to the left, as Greg found out, there is the Terror Hole, which is the cemetery.
Not a good place to be.
Which is, it's full of skelly bobs. You can't kill them, not at an early level anyway. And when you do kill them, you don't get any souls off them, and they just come back to life again. So when I first encountered them, one of the things I thought I'd do, because I knew I could outpace them, was, and you can drop your kit as well, so you can basically unequip all your clothes, and you can run like a bat out of hell. Yeah. So basically, I dropped all my kit off, and I was running around naked in the cemetery, and I just went around looting. So, you know, and I picked up there this, it was called a Zweihänder Claymore, which was like the biggest sword you've seen in your life. And at the point where I picked it up, I couldn't use it. But when I got leveled up enough, I could switch that out as my second primary weapon. So what you can do is, quite quickly, you can holster your shield by sticking it on your shoulder, and you can wield this big-ass sword when you come up to certain enemies. So the combos that you can get going are brilliant. So you can go into a fight with your shield up, swing your battle axe a couple of times just to spread out the enemies, and then you get your claymore out, do one swoop, and you've took down three enemies in one go. So yeah, it's got a cool combat system. I'm really enjoying it. So yeah, I'm progressing nicely through that, and I've got to say, I recommend it to anybody to try it. And it's brilliant the way that it opens up as well. So you'll get to a certain point in the game where you probably level, I'm at about 23 or 24 now.
Okay.
And as you're leveling up, the map starts to open up to you as well. So you get more options for where you can travel.
No, because you're a proper level.
Well, no, there's nothing prohibiting you from going anywhere. That's what I love about this game. I'll tell you what I love as well. There's no loading screens.
That's true. There are very few loading screens.
Oh, there's a few cutscenes once you've had a boss battle and stuff like that, but you very rarely see any loading screens to talk of. But then you get your options of where you're going to move, which when you get into a certain level, you're not too feared of going in the wrong directions. You soon know if you're coming up against enemies that are too big. They put in nice mini bosses as well, which are a good challenge. But they never prohibit you from going anywhere. So you'll find that they'll put a black knight down an alleyway, or they'll stick another black knight on top of a tower, and there's always something to be gained by killing them. Like, you'll get a ring that'll give you certain additions to your health points and stuff like that. So all in all, I think the AI as well and the enemies is some of the best that I've ever seen. You have to learn how to combat each different kind of enemy. And that is all adding to it.
Okay.
So yeah, and I love the subtlety in which it's unveiling the story to you as well. There's no voiceovers.
Yeah.
You know, it's like giving you like a oldie worldy type text and telling you what's coming out. You're just getting character conversations at certain points, and you'll get an idea of what has been happening and what's caused it. There's a great intro scene as well, which introduces you to the whole reason why the whole world is undead. And yeah, it's great.
Okay.
Love it.
Chris, question for you. Are you now motivated to go out and play this game? Mr. Matthew.
I'm sorry, what?
Just making sure you were still awake, my friend.
No, I'm not.
Why? Why?
Because you just talked for a long time and I have no idea what you said.
Now, I was paying attention.
Rich, it sounds like you're having a great time.
I thought you'd like it because you like Mass Effects and stuff.
You know, I do like role-playing games.
I know. I'm wondering if you might really enjoy it, Chris.
I think you would.
You know, the thing with role-playing games is, like, there's a few really good ones out there, and there's a lot of crap ones.
This is true.
And the last role-playing game I bought that I wasn't really sure about was Two Worlds 2, and that's kind of left a sour taste in my mouth for unknown territory.
What are you talking about? So, that was a brilliant game.
That game was awful.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to like it. I was like, I gotta like this. It should be fun.
I was willing myself to like it.
It's no good.
Exactly.
That's gonna stick as an 8% complete on my gamer card.
Yeah, I remember playing that thinking, how the hell did I finish the first game? This is just utter crap.
And you recommended it to me, Greg. It's all your fault.
I know. I think I was just desperate for that kind of RPG, and it was the closest thing. Other than that, we were waiting for, I think, Dragon Age 2 and Skyrim and apparently Dark Souls. But yeah, I think all three of the latter, even Dragon Age 2, were far better than Two Worlds 2. That's painful to talk about.
Yeah. It was foolish.
What character did you rock when you tried it, Greg?
I believe I set up a hunter character.
All right. He's a bit of an all-rounder.
Yeah. I figured it would probably be best to go into this game with something that I wouldn't feel like I was limited in one fashion or another. Plus, I had heard the bit about needing a bow and arrow for the dragon tail, so I thought, okay, well, I'll pick a character class that uses a bow and arrow.
I don't even remember picking classes. Did you actually do that?
We're actually back talking about Dark Souls.
Oh.
Yeah, we switched gears on you. We're fast like that.
Right. I'm going back to sleep.
No, you don't get to go back to sleep, because now we're going to talk about what you've been playing, assuming, Rich, there's nothing more on your end.
I'd just say, go and play it. If you like combat, good combat in a game, then play it. That's enough to get you hooked.
And the hook brings you back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris.
Greg.
What have you been playing?
Nothing.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, see you later. No, so with the release of Modern Warfare 3 and the emptiness of my friends list, I had some time to dedicate to the Battlefield 3 campaign.
We're talking about the single player campaign, correct?
Yes. I also played a bit of the co-op, which is okay. But yeah, I played the single player campaign.
The richness that is the single player campaign.
The richness of tomfoolery that is the single player campaign. I played it on hard straight away just because I didn't want to play it twice. It was all right in some parts and not all right in other parts. I didn't find the characters to be anyone that I really cared about, which I guess you shouldn't in a game like this because they all end up dying.
I would say you should be caring about the characters, and that's a fault of this game, is that you don't care about the characters. They all feel like they're the same character, so it's hard to relate to any one character. It's just kind of like, well, whatever, you're G.I. Joe number 6.
Well, it also didn't really fit. I couldn't really figure out who Blackburn was supposed to be. By all accounts, he was just your regular Marine infantry grunt.
Right, but he's getting grilled by the CIA.
Somehow he got wrapped up in an international espionage plot. Like, he was sent on some pretty high level, usually reserved for the sneaky squirrel types with ponytails and beards operations.
Yes.
So it didn't really add up at all.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite moments of him being interrogated was when they started asking him about the pilot. And he's like, I never heard of her. I don't know her. Let me tell you about her story.
That was a ridiculous, like, what? What do you know about Hawkins? Well, I never met Hawkins. She was a pilot. Yeah, at 15,000 feet when I was sucking down mud. Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah.
I will say that the last level, the very last mission on hard difficulty was tough. Probably someone out there will tell me it wasn't that hard, but you got to remember that I suck at games, so it was really hard for me.
I actually found the shooting bits in the game all to be fairly difficult, just because, typically speaking, it felt like you were dealing with that kind of infinite respawn of enemies. So if you didn't move up and get to the points in time, you were constantly facing waves of enemy.
There were a couple of places like that. But for the most part, you could take them all out before you move forward. But the shooting was, the bad guys moved around a lot more than they do in some other games, which makes it harder to hit them. But the missions were all kind of fairly straightforward. There wasn't anything all that. I mean, let's face it. Battlefield 3 is all about the multiplayer.
This is true.
Right?
It is.
The multiplayer is great. Single player is meh. So, yeah, whatever it's done. Also played some of the co-op with Kern, which was pretty good. It's some people want to compare it to Spec Ops, but it's really – I mean, I guess it is in the sense that it's two-player co-op, you know, very short, discrete missions, but it's just kind of a different feel to it.
Right.
I mean, that's because it's Battlefield and not Call of Duty, I guess. But very similar. I would like it. I would have liked it if the co-op was more than two players.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
I was a little surprised because wasn't Onslaught in Battlefield Bad Company 2 four-player?
Yes.
And this is basically the same kind of deal. I mean...
Well, yes and well, no.
The helicopter mission certainly wasn't, but I mean...
Well, all the missions are different. So, like, the helicopter mission... And then I think it's either the third or fourth mission where you got to like sneak into the apartment complex. So that's a little bit different.
Okay.
You know, that one's more like the sneaking through the snow bit. And that one was really a clone of one of the Modern Warfare 2 Spec Ops missions where, you know, you got to line up your shot and then count it down and both shoot at the same time. So the co-op's good. The multiplayer's good. Single player. Not so much.
Okay.
Went back and tried to get some of the achievements, and the one that I'm finding really difficult is the one where you have to do a perfect run on the jet mission. I don't know why I'm finding it so difficult, because it shouldn't be that difficult. It's just a quick time event without the quick time prompts, but it's just kicking my butt. So I guess I'll have to continue to try. Or I won't.
Or you won't.
Or I won't.
Just got to get yourself to 80%, and then you can wipe your hands clean.
I think I'm already done with 80% on that one. I'll have to double check again. So, that's Battlefield. Played some more Forza, which I do a lot. And I got back into Gears of War 3 over the weekend. We got together, a small group of us, to do the campaign on four-player co-op.
Okay.
So we just kind of did a marathon right through four-player co-op, found all the collectibles, did all that goodness. And it was surprisingly fun to play it again, even though I'd already played it. I think because we were playing an arcade mode, so it was kind of keeping score, and we were trying to build up our multiplier, and we were trying to, you know, do all that. And the fact that there were four of us, so there was always somebody to talk to.
Right.
So it was. I was surprised at how much fun it was, given that I'd already done it once.
Now, were you on insane difficulty with everybody else on a beginning level or something?
No, we were all playing on casual difficulty, actually, because Parsnip, who was one of the group, had rented the game and needed to get it sent back to Gamefly, so we played it on casual so that we could just get through it.
Got it.
But that was fun.
Okay, excellent.
What else have I played? I believe that's it. Yep.
Okay.
That is it.
That is it.
What have you been playing, Greg?
What have I been playing? Well, we already talked about Fusion. Gave that a test drive. Basically, last week was filled with new games. So Modern Warfare 3 and Skyrim. It was quite the eventful week for me. Modern Warfare 3, it's good. I was very impressed. And now I know... Listeners have already been hearing Mike Chin talk about it pretty extensively. Modern Warfare 3, I was surprised how much I was enjoying the single-player campaign, comparatively speaking to Battlefield 3's single-player campaign. I kind of had gone into Modern Warfare 3 thinking, God, you know what? I really didn't enjoy what I played so far in Battlefield 3. Probably going to be the same kind of thing in Modern Warfare 3, but it's not. You know, the Michael Bay big moments, you know, art direction and you know, script, it works for that game. And I really was enjoying just playing through the single player and had a good time with that. Got in some multiplayer over the weekend. And, you know, the game is just, it's buttery smooth. And that is probably its biggest credit. I mean, you know, Battlefield 3, I think, looks a little nicer, and audio-wise, I enjoy Battlefield 3 better. But Modern Warfare 3, it really is a different kind of multiplayer. So, you know, it kind of scratches a different itch, if you will. And so, you know, I foresee myself keeping both games and just, you know, time to time, playing whichever one I feel the urge for.
Well, Game Greg, if you like Modern Warfare 3 that much, then Glenn Schofield would like you to go on Metacritic and post a review because their scores on Metacritic have been horrible. I'm not sure what that says about them as a developer, if they're willing to plea for better reviews. If you're an artist, you shouldn't give a crap what people think. And if you're a game developer and your game is selling by the shed load, you made a bunch of money, you shouldn't give a crap what the reviews say. But Sledgehammer Games' Glenn Schofield has taken to Twitter and tweeted, "I usually don't do this, but if you like Modern Warfare 3, go to Metacritic.com and help our user score."
Yeah, so it's the user score.
It is suspiciously low. Be honest, but help if you agree. Yeah, I know it's the user score, but you know what? Again, they sold, 17 billion copies in the first week?
Something like that.
So why do they care? Obviously, everyone's buying it, even if they don't like it. So, whatever.
I don't think they have.
I just think that's a. Maybe I don't get it, but I think that's just an unprofessional thing to do if you're a game developer.
You shouldn't be too worried about that. But, you know, on the flip side, as gamers, you know what? We shouldn't be flooding Metacritic and just throwing up crap user scores just because we like one game over another game. Which basically is what's happening. You've got the Battlefield fanboys just running out and they're posting up ones on the Modern Warfare 3 Metacritic user score. They're creating accounts and just putting it down as a 1 out of 10. And so, so it's completely tore down their score. So,
At the end of the day, though, if the only people that are going to go on and post comments are people that have got something to moan about, because the people that really like the game are playing it. They're not on the internet posting reviews. They're on it 24/7. So, Greg, game modes, what have you been playing?
So the game modes, I mean, pretty much just played Team Deathmatch. Haven't even touched. Oh, right. And I really want to try Kill Confirmed, because that game mode out of all of them has kind of this – I really like what they're doing with that. You know, it's teamwork-based. From what I'm hearing, a lot of people are saying they're pairing up in teams of two. You know, a two-man team, you're going through, you got your shooter, and then you've got the collector, so to speak. Because if you're not collecting the kill and you let the enemy collect it, it basically takes a kill away from your team score. So it's an interesting dynamic, and I like it. I mean, the guns all feel good. The perk system, I honestly barely got a chance to really delve into because I was too busy, you know, going from one match to the next match to really go through. But, I mean, it is nice that they have kind of a support class, if you will, now set up. To where, you know, maybe you're not the kill leader, but you do a lot of support stuff, you know. You now get points for that. You'll get kill streaks. You know, it'll add up and you'll be able to do things that in Modern Warfare 2 and Blops you would never be able to do because you were never getting all the high kills.
So if you're set up as a support, then your kill streak carries on after you die. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay.
And so and it's point-based, it's not kill-based. So, again, you know, so depending on what you're doing, if you're supporting, you know, other characters with assists or, you know, doing ammo drops through a care package, whatever the case may be, those points just keep piling on for you.
What's your favorite gun, Greg?
Honestly, I just played with the G3 exclusively. It was kind of one of those starter packages that they set you up with, and it was a really good starter package. I had no problems with it. I was enjoying the crap out of that gun. So,
favorite map?
That might explain why your kill-to-death ratio is horrible, Greg, if your gun is launching crap.
Yes. If my gun is launching crap, no. Agreed. That was making things difficult. I kind of liked the railway. There was a London railway where – I'm assuming it was in London. And it was just a railway system with a bunch of buildings, and you basically kind of emerge out, and you could go underneath, and it just, you know, again, they have smart map design in Modern Warfare. They keep it, for the most part, they're all very circular, but, I mean, that keeps the action flowing. You never feel like you really, there's not a lot of places you can just hide out and camp. And that definitely is a direct, you know, opposite of what Battlefield 3 has, because Battlefield 3, let's face it, there are plenty of places you can set up and try to camp.
Yep.
Yeah, there's reports out at the minute that the glitches have found a way of shotgun boosting onto roofs. Have you heard about that?
No, but that's...
Onto the roofs of what?
Yeah. Well, if you can remember, you know, in Halo, you could do, like, the rocket boost. So
yeah, or a grenade jump.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's similar to that, but you use a shotgun. and
in
it
which
gets
game?
In Modern Warfare 3.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently you can get on inaccessible roofs by doing
glitch. You could do an RPG jump in Modern Warfare 2. You could do the same thing with an RPG.
I like
it. I never wanted to do it because I was terrible, but you could do it.
Hey, I forgot to mention something. The week before last, my mates just got an Xbox, and the only game he had with it was Call of Duty 4. So I went back onto Call of Duty 4. My God, them servers aren't being looked after now.
Yeah.
It's just full of modders, man. It's unbelievable. First game we went in was on, let me remember the map. There's one that's got it's set in the desert. And there's a road going straight through the middle of it with a couple of tanks on that burnt out. I can't remember what the name of it was. Anyway, starts playing the game and you're getting all these multicoloured lines coming up all over the screen. And the next thing we know, you start floating up in the air. Every single player in the game was floating in midair. And you were just shooting each other. There was no map involved in it because you was all up in
the
air.
Right. And like an anti-gravity.
Yeah, and there was rockets and all sorts coming down all over the place. You know, like when you get an airstrike.
Right.
That was everywhere. And how did he do it?
Well, I mean, one thing you have to remember, and this is a big contrast between Battlefield 3 and most other shooters on consoles right now. In Modern Warfare 3 and Modern Warfare 2 and COD 4, all-inclusive, those are all peer-to-peer. So they're not they're not dedicated servers sitting at Infinity Ward or at Activision. It's a peer-to-peer system. So you're basically jumping into somebody's Xbox that they've been modding and basically hacking into.
Right.
So. But, all right. So enough of the Modern Warfare 3. I want to talk about the game I'm absolutely in love with. And honestly, a clear front runner right now for Game of the Year for me.
Have you got a gaming girlfriend as well?
Oh, I have a slutty little whore of a gaming girlfriend called Skyrim. I cannot tell you how impressed I am with this game. It has blown me away. And the funny part was, when I first loaded it up, I kind of did one of those, okay. Because the very opening scene, I had a lot of flashbacks to Oblivion. I wasn't overly impressed with some of the character models. I was kind of like, okay, maybe I'm going to have a hard time with this. But as soon as you get through that opening cutscene and tutorial, the game opens up and you start playing it properly, and the game just rockets into just RPG perfection. I mean, you know, I don't even know where to begin to start. I mean, literally, this is probably the most open world game I've played out of any of the genres. Again, you can go anywhere. You can go and do anything you want to. You may not survive it, so much like Dark Souls. The combat feels all very good. I'm not going to say the physical, like, sword and shield combat is quite as good as Dark Souls, because one of the unique things about Dark Souls was, like, if you were in tight spaces, you weren't going to be able to use, say, a big long spear or a long sword, because it might clank off of the sides of the corridor you're in. And so you wouldn't actually have room to wield it. So I haven't come across any situations like that. So I'm kind of assuming it's a non-factor. They just they allow you to use whatever weapon you want in whatever areas you want. Now, that said, I'm not finding myself ever really confined in a small, narrow space like that. So it's not really an issue. Gosh, you guys are probably going to have to ask questions because there's so much floating through my head right now. I honestly don't know where to start.
Save points. Does it do its own saving or you got to do manual?
It does auto saves, and it'll auto save in certain parts, but you also can do manual saves. And you can save as frequently as you want to, as many times as you want to. It doesn't limit you at all that way.
How many discs?
One disc. Surprisingly small install. It's under it's under 6 gigs. It actually only installs 3.8 on your Xbox if you install it. Which is pretty amazing, and I don't quite understand how Bethesda got away with this because the Xbox game is a 3.8 gig install, and I think the game total is somewhere around 6 gigs. But the PS3 version, it's a 10 gig disc. And the install is around 4 gigs, and it's a mandatory install on the PS3. So clearly they did a lot of compression on the Xbox 360 side, but from every account I've seen, you would never know it's compressed versus the PS3 because the Xbox version actually is looking better than the PS3 version.
So the combat... Is it two-handed, like
what combat? Yeah, about? Combat can be one-handed. It can be two-handed. You can do it in first person, or you can do it in third person view. And you can equip weapons to both hands if you want. You can equip magic to one hand versus in a weapon in the other hand. You can go magic in both hands. You can do a shield in one hand. So it's very versatile in that regard, and it feels. I mean, in the way they have that system working, it works really well. From your inventory screen, you can basically select favorites. So if you have a particular sword that you like to use often, you mark that as a favorite. And then when you're out in the world, you simply click up or down on the D-pad, and it pulls up your list of favorites. And then you can do a quick select with left or right on the D-pad, and you kind of mark two different sets of weapons that you probably use more often than anything else. And that way you don't have to worry about going into the inventory screen at all. You just hit left or right on the D-pad to arm those. And you can do that for magic as well. So let's say you wanted to do fire spell and healing spell in one hand each. You could have that set up on the D-pad.
They got rid of the quick equip 8 items around the D-pad like they
yes.
had.
Yes, yeah. Really? It basically is now just a four-direction D-pad. Mm-hmm. And really, it's 3 directions because up and down serve the same purpose. And then just left or right. And then in terms of casting spells, it's just holding down the trigger and then releasing. And depending on the spell, some spells you're holding it down longer will charge it up more. And same thing with physical attacks. So as you're swinging a sword, if you hold down the trigger longer, it'll do a power attack versus if you hold it down for a quick tap, it'll be just a quick slice. Armor.
Have you got a horse?
You do have horses.
Have you got one?
I do have a horse, yes.
What have you called him?
I have not named my horse. Oh, yeah, man. I know. You can name the horse, though. That you can do that. So, other things. The armor and weapons and potions and enchantments, all of this stuff has like its own ecosystem on how you can create. So very much kind of like in Oblivion where you could make certain things. In this game, anything you use, you can make. And there's some interesting kind of trade-offs. So, I mean, like with the armory, for instance, so swords, you go to the armory, there is a forge, there's a grinder, there's a workbench, and there's a tanning hide area. And you use the forge to melt down iron ore to create a sword. You use the sharpening stone basically to in a sense, kind of create up weapons. So that's where you'll actually create the finished sword or upgrade it, so to speak. The workbench is where you create pieces of armor, or you can upgrade your armor on the workbench. And the tanning hide area is where you take your pelts that you get off animals and create leather out of them. And basically every armor piece or sword has different components to it that you find out in the world that you need in order to make them. Same thing holds true for potions and enchantments. This was kind of an interesting spin that I found out today, as a matter of fact. To enchant items, you first have to learn how to enchant. Now, I know that seems pretty basic, but the way you learn to enchant an item is you have to basically de-enchant, I don't know if that's actually even a word, deconstruct a magical item. So let's say you had a cloak that gave you 10% more magic power. You have to unenchant that cloak at the enchanting table to learn that skill. Now, the interesting thing is I learned it, and I turned around and tried to re-enchant it, and this time it only gave it a 4% perk because my skill level was really low. So there's going to be trade-offs. If you want to learn skills, you're going to have to understand that you're probably not going to get the same level of something back that you got when you first did it, if that made any sense. Anyway, I'm putting you guys to sleep. In terms of the open world stuff, I will just say the main quests are awesome. The minor quests are incredibly deep. I kind of went on about this over Twitter over the weekend, but my first like minor side quest, which has been, I think, pretty well documented on YouTube. You've seen it a lot. It was about an hour and a half long. And I felt it was a dungeon crawl, and I felt like I was Indiana Jones in this thing. There were traps and switches that I was finding and having to activate and avoid. And I'm not going to do any spoilers, but I'm just going to describe a moment for me where I was chasing after a bad guy that had kind of fled from me. He had something that I wanted, so I was chasing after him. He starts running down a path in this dungeon that I have not been down this area yet. So I'm literally, it's like a scene from a movie. I'm chasing after this guy. He's running on one side of a pillar. I'm on the other side. And I can, you know, as I'm going past pillars, I'm seeing him. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to cut over and try and cut him off as soon as I can. And suddenly he runs into some zombies. And they start attacking him. And I come up. And he's fighting the zombies, and I start attacking him, kill him. The zombies turn on me, but as they're turning on me, one of the zombies towards the back hits a switch on one of the traps. The trap activates and wipes out all the zombies. And it was just one of those great moments where I was just like, wow. Played out just so picture perfect. I mean, if I could have recorded it, I absolutely would have and put it up on YouTube. It was just kind of one of those moments. So.
Cool. Seen any dragons yet?
I have. Battled my first dragon. And they are intimidating. I killed the dragon because I had the help of about 10 other villagers. And we took the dragon down. So the dragon was not as fierce as the woolly mammoth that I mistakenly decided to take on, because I had a side quest to bring me a tusk from a woolly mammoth, and I thought, oh, sure, no problem.
I'm sorry. You took on a woolly mammoth with your dragon?
No.
And it was, and you were defeated?
No. I took on a woolly mammoth just on my own.
No. Just you took on a woolly mammoth with your dragon.
And I was defeated, yes.
And your dragon wasn't up for the task.
Yes, that about sums it up.
We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, that was one of those funny moments, though. I quickly was just like, ah, crap. And I died. Yeah. Anyway, I really cannot recommend Skyrim enough. If you like role-playing, sorcery kind of games, you are going to love Skyrim. It is everything it's promised and more. It is amazing how big the world is. And graphically, it really does shine. The opening scene, don't let that fool you. As soon as you get into the game, you will be wowed more than a few times. And I will also say this. The inventory system lets you see every object in 3D. And there's a reason for that, because there's going to be times where you're going to have to inspect things that you found and actually see them in 3D to help yourself.
And take fingerprints.
And take fingerprints, exactly.
Look for trace evidence.
Exactly.
Call someone out on a lie. I think we've done this before.
We have. Skyrim, go get it. Buy it. You won't regret it. Chris, I'm telling you, you'll like it.
I believe you. I'm still going to wait.
While you're waiting, Chris, go and get Dark Souls.
No.
All right. That's it for what we've been playing. God, we've went on for quite a while. So we're going to speed through some new releases right now. And on the heels of that, we'll hit the news quiz. There is a short news quiz this week. All right. So new releases. It is a packed calendar this week. I'm going to go through it as fast as humanly possible. Here we go. On the Wii, ABBA, You Can Dance. Yep. I know, Rich, you're excited. Maybe you're more excited for this one. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked. Yeah, I said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chipwrecked, yeah. Ooh. We know Chris is excited for DreamWorks Superstar Karts.
You know it.
The game that I know Mr. Steve Conger has got a chubby for, The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, comes out this week. And a game we all should be excited for, Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympics. Need for Speed The Run comes out on the Wii. Pro Evolution Soccer 2012 comes out this week at a discounted price of $20. Rayman Origins out on the Wii.
Origins, that's right.
Yeah, Origins, not Infinite. Now we know. Udraw has a couple different titles out this week. So there's Instant Artist with the tablet. Then there's Marvel Superhero Squad Comic Combat. And last but certainly not least, SpongeBob Squiggle Pants with Udraw tablet. That was difficult to say. Zumba Fitness 2, also out on the Wii. Moving over to the PS Triple. We have Assassin's Creed Revelations out this week. Got Bejeweled 3, Carnival Island, DreamWorks Superstar Karts, Dynasty Warriors 7, Extreme Legend, which I'm assuming is extreme, but just a typo. iPet and Friends. Always have to have the Friends. L.A. Noir, the Complete Edition. Medieval Moves, Deadman's Quest, finally coming out this week. Need for Speed The Run, Plants vs. Zombies, Rayman Origins, Saints Row the Third, and then, of course, the Triple Threat Udraw titles, the Instant Artist, the Tablet, Marvel Superhero Squad, and, ironically, a different title, Udraw Pictionary, with the Ultimate Edition. And not to be outdone, the Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 out this week on the PS Triple. PSN games this week, Burger Time World Tour, Hasbro Family Game Night 3, Hollywood Squares, Jurassic Park the game comes out this week, Red Dead Redemption coming out, and Vanguard Bandits all making their way onto the old PSN. And for those craving demos, there's going to be a Little Big Planet 2 special edition demo up on PSN. Moving over to the 360, we've got Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked, Assassin's Creed Revelations, Bejeweled 3, Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition. I think that might be sitting on my doorstep right now. Hole in the Wall, Kinect game. Jurassic Park, the game, coming out this week. Kinect Disney Adventures, Kung Fu High Impact, L.A. Noir, the Complete Edition, Need for Speed, the Run, The Price is Right, the Decades game, comes out this week. Yeah, everybody's excited for that, I can tell. Rayman Origins, Saints Row the Third, and then the triple pack of Udraw games, The Instant Artist, Marvel Superhero Squad, and Pictionary Ultimate Edition. And then Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and last but not least, Victorious, Time to Shine. No mention of what's coming out to Xbox Live Arcade this week, but I'm assuming something has come out already. DLC, and this actually is on the PS3 as well. Saints Row the Third, a bunch of stuff. There's the Invincible Pack, the Season Pass DLC, and the Shark Attack Pack. Don't know what they are, but hey, if you need it, it's there. And last but not least, deal of the week for Xbox 360 this week, Misplosion Man on sale. Craving some more Splosion Man goodness, it's only 400 points. And that is the new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Alright, it's news quiz time.
News quiz.
Alright, so was there a question? I heard a deep breath, or was that just anxiousness?
That's anticipation, Greg.
I like
really
it.
Love it.
I love it too. Chris, you get the first two questions this week.
Woo-hoo!
So it'll be a total of six questions. First two to Chris, next two to Rich, and then we alternate. Here we go. Chris, October NPD numbers came out last week. Which device took third place? Is it the Wii, the 360, or the PS3?
Which device took third place? The Wii, 360, or the PS Triple?
Now, I will say that on the list also were the 3DS and the regular DS, but I didn't list those as your choices. Just to give you something more to think about.
PS Triple.
And you would be wrong. So hardware for the week came in with the 360 on top at 393,000 units.
Bam.
The 3DS just over 250,000 and the Wii just under 250,000. And the PS3 is basically somewhere between 240,000 and 250,000. It was all estimated off of what other companies had indicated. And last but not least, we have the DS at just under 180,000. So we'll move on to the next question. And Chris, how much do you want to bet this next question also revolves around the NPDs?
I'm guessing that it's not.
It is, in fact, it is, yes.
Oh,
you should have bet the farm.
Wrong again. I don't have a farm. I can't feel my toes. I don't have any toes. Sorry, go ahead.
So on the software side, Chris.
Software.
Which title took fourth on the list? Is it Dark Souls, Just Dance 3, or Rage?
Well, Dark Souls isn't wildly popular. Certainly, everyone in the UK already has a copy of Just Dance 1 and 2. So I'm going to go with Rage.
And you would be correct.
Yes.
Yeah, so the official list is from basically 10 up. You've got FIFA Soccer 12,
FIFA.
Gears of War 3 at number 9, Forza Motorsport 4 at 8, Madden 12 at 7, Dark Souls at number 6, Just Dance 3 at number 5, Rage at number 4, NBA 2K12 at number 3, Batman Arkham City at 2, and Battlefield 3 took in number 1 spot for October.
Numero uno.
Yeah, not really a surprise that Battlefield 3 would come in at number 1. Nice to see Batman coming in with some good numbers too, though.
Batman!
Okay, so Chris, 1-for-2 there. Not bad, not bad.
1-for-2.
But not potentially good enough. Rich, are you ready, my friend?
I've got a bonus question for you, Greg.
Okay, I'm ready. Bonus question.
Why are so many British people playing American sports on their Xboxes?
Because the Bears and the Bucks played a game in London, and now Britain is infected with American football.
It's outrageous.
Okay.
It is.
Sure. I'll go with that answer. Okay, Rich. Which version of Batman Arkham City appears to be having an issue with missing save files? Is it the PC version, the 360 version, or the PS3 version?
I heard people twittering about this. I'm just trying to think what consoles they normally have. I had a corrupt save on Arkham Asylum, so I can sympathise with anybody that's been affected by this. I will go with the Xbox.
And you would be correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correcto mundo.
Over basically a scenario that's been growing in the 360 forums, the save files apparently aren't deleted from the system, but the game doesn't detect a file is there to be loaded. Yeah. So the unfortunate part about it is that the team's QA department hasn't been able to reproduce the issue. So they're basically asking anybody that is, in fact, experiencing this to get to their forums or email support@WB Games and help them out. Because they
can we come around your house? Can I have a look at your Xbox?
Let's have a look-see. All right, number question four here. Rich. Mm-hmm. And this is going to come across a little funny, but how would you describe the 3DS sales compared to the DS sales for its launch year? Are they on par, tracking below, or on track to surpass the DS?
They are on track to surpass because I've read it and I bought one this week.
Oh, look at you. They are, in fact, on track to surpass. This is quite shocking to me. Because all the reports, the 3DS was doing miserable. And, you know, I think we all kind of failed to remember that the DS struggled out of the gates as well.
You want to see the ad campaigns that are going off for them things over here at the minute. I bet you're getting the same over there, but...
Yeah.
They know it's Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
It's Christmas.
Yeah. Well, according to NPD, 1.65 million 3DS systems have been sold so far in the United States... and that's not even a full year out in the market. And the DS, in its first 12 months, sold 2.37 million units. So basically, the 3DS has from now until March 2012 to beat those numbers. And I think it's a pretty safe bet with Christmas still to come. It's going to surpass that. All right. Chris, we're going to move back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up?
Infinity Ward!
Infinity Ward!
And it is an appropriate Infinity Ward question.
Chad Warden.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, of course, just launched.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did.
No, it didn't.
But more importantly, Chris, how many units did it move in day one?
Do I get choices?
I'll give you some choices. Sorry.
I don't need a choice. I know.
Is it?
Oh, you do.
I do.
5.5 million.
For you.
Is it 5.5 million, 6.5 million, or 7.5 million?
$6.5 million.
You would be correct. Yes.
Victory.
6.5 million units.
Six and a half million. Day one.
Yeah.
Which is my point. You don't have to worry about what the hell's going on Metacritic. You sold 6.5 million copies of your game. Shut up.
Yeah, we have a nice little quote from Activision. We believe the launch of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 is the biggest entertainment launch of all time in any medium. And we achieved this record with sales from only two territories. That's per Bobby Kotick. He says, other than Call of Duty, there has never been another entertainment franchise that has set opening day records 3 years in a row. Life-to-date sales of the Call of Duty franchise exceed worldwide theatrical box office for Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, two of the most successful entertainment franchises of all time. Oh, and by the way, Call of Duty confirmed next year. They confirmed number six. Yeah, we knew it was coming.
Number six. Dude, the one they just released is number 8.
Number 9, whatever. Call of Duty Black Ops 2. Who knows what it's going to be called?
I don't care.
They confirmed.
I don't care what they call it. I'm not buying it.
Even crazier numbers, just to put another cherry on top of that sundae for Activision. Today they reported week one sales, 12 million units.
Are you done slobbing their knob, Greg?
I am done slobbing their knob.
They're not going to send you a free copy of the game.
Damn it. It's okay. Rich, you get this right and you win. You get this wrong, it's a tie.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. The latest rumors on the next Xbox from Microsoft point to MS Microsoft announcing it on what show / event? Is it A, New Year's Eve Jimmy Fallon's 2012 New Year's Eve show? B, CES 2012? Or C, GDC 2012?
If you need GDC.
I'm sorry to say you have tied, Mr. Matthew.
It's that fucking Jimmy Fallon again, isn't it?
No, it is not. And in fact, the rumors are they're going to be announcing it at CES, which is the Consumer Electronics Show out in Las Vegas.
Electronics.
Further points to the rumor, supposedly the next Xbox, as the source claims, is going to have a hex core CPU, 2 gigabytes of DDR3 RAM, and an AMD GPU that could be a dual core GPU. So some pretty crazy things. It also is basically from every rumor sitting out there that the code name right now is Xbox Loop. And that is the code name for the next device.
Mm.
So yeah. Pretty crazy stuff, but nicely done on the quiz, gentlemen. 2 out of 3, not bad. Both of you.
What are they going to call it?
They're going to call it the Xbox 720.
No.
It was in real steel, man. It was on the wall.
Which is exactly why they can't call it that now. I mean, that name now is officially out. I suspect they're going to do something along the lines of like Xbox Infinite or... you know, some kind of name as opposed to a number.
I don't know, whatever. Xbox Infinite, what?
Well, they kind of have to get away from this, you know, numbering.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's the news quiz.
Call it Xbox 4 Pi.
Xbox. All right, it's time for our break. I found this quick little song. It's a Skyrim song. I thought you all would enjoy it.
Skyrim song.
From Harry Partridge out on the old YouTubes. No rap song this week, I promise. Although next week, I can't promise I'm not going to bring a rap song. I know. There's some people out there, enough of the rap. But it's a Modern Warfare 3 versus Battlefield 3 rap, so I'm tempted. I'm tempted to throw it in there. Anywho, all right. Here we go. Show break. Bye-bye.
What happened to your game as it seems somewhere along the way? You turned from doing good and so now evil's holding sway. Rhythm games and fitness games and even cooking sims.
What else are we to do?
Fight the fight in old Skyrim.
Skyrim?
Beyond the frozen tundra lies the homeland of the Nords, where radiant stories bloom and you can duel magic and swords. Use perks just like in Fallout, defend the family that you've reared. Kill dragons just by shouting, you can even have a beard.
The game of life's a drag, it's filled with homework, filled with books. My job is lame and girls make fun of my less than stellar looks.
Damn it, boy, why do you heed such shallow mortal whims? There's a battle that needs your steel, my son, in the land of old Skyrim.
We are back from the break, and not too soon. Yeah, let's get this going. Question for the week. Assuming the rumors are correct that GTA 5 is a digital download-only title, would you be buying it? Or a game of similar anticipation, are you on board with digital-only download? Chris, what do you think?
You know, I wasn't, but now I am. Provided that Microsoft stop charges stupid rates for their hard drive space.
Okay.
No, I mean, so what I'm saying, like, I'm down with the digital download game now. Like, after having finally caught up with Xbox Live Arcade and realized how cool it is to just be able to change games real fast you know, not have to go find a disc that's been hidden in my coffee table or something. I really like the idea, but given that Microsoft charged ridiculous rates per gigabyte for the hard drives for the Xbox 360, that's a limitation.
Okay. So bring the hard drive prices down and you're in. Rich, what about you?
Cancels out any sort of competition in pricing, though, doesn't it?
True.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they've got you by the short and curlies.
Well, what if there was a model, say, where Amazon purchased X number of licenses and Best Buy purchased X number of licenses and Steam purchased X number of licenses, and then they could all sell you a license, and then there was, you know, there would still be some, you know, you're not necessarily downloading it directly from the developer or directly from Microsoft or Rockstar or whoever. So there's the potential for competition there still. I mean, I don't think they're going to go download only until they work something out with the retailers, because the retailers aren't going to put the console on the shelf unless they can sell games, because that's where the money is right. In games.
Well, I mean, I think the solution was kind of thrown out there as part of this rumor is that they're still going to have GTA 5 boxes, but in it is going to be a code. You're going to have to access it online.
So same. You know, so you can either buy your code in a little card or you can get the code digitally, you know,
right.
Or whatever. Hey, my dog likes the idea.
Dog's all for it. Rich, no, I do see what you're saying, though. I mean, from a – well, I guess I can't really say like from a competition side of things, but you certainly run out of options in terms of used game sales, selling games back, and that's the one area that I get kind of a little nervous about, just because I feel like right now game developers are working pretty hard and throwing a lot of stuff at us in terms of like DLC incentives, whatever, to try and get us to buy their games new, because that threat's out there of the used game sales. And if that goes away, do they suddenly stop working as hard as they have been to try and keep us, you know, in the game? So
definitely a possibility.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, let's see what the community had to say. Rich, I believe you are up first with the forums.
Yes, first up, Dana said, I need reassurances that digital download is finished, stable, and assurances that the digital download is a finished, stable, and tested piece of software. The ability to patch and update content is a blessing and a curse. We only need to look at the messy launch of COD Elite and Battlefield 3. They're not the only ones. Test Drive Unlimited, and so on.
It seems like almost every big title now launches with some issues. They just use the first week of launch as a beta test, or an alpha, or whatever test.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, we keep buying the games, so clearly there's no incentive for them to get it right the first time.
Okay.
Yeah. And Twister65 says, I'll probably buy it because I enjoyed the last one, despite not finishing it. But one of the downsides to this is not being able to play it on another console easily. Sure, you can probably go to your download history on the second console and re-download it, but how often will you get to do that if this becomes the norm? What waste of disk space having the same game installed on multiple consoles? Just think about that as well, if you rolled it out over the lifespan of a console. Say you started from scratch on the next generation console and everything was going to be downloadable. What are we looking at there, about 2 terabytes with hard drive or what?
As long as they keep the current model where you can re-download things, you could certainly delete games and re-download them later. I do it, like right now with game installs, if I haven't played a game in a couple of weeks, I'll delete it off the hard drive and then reinstall it later when I need to. It's kind of a pain, but it works.
I mean, I think that's where a service like OnLive really shines. I mean, you know, you buy the game and you don't have to worry about a hard drive. You don't have to worry about the disk space. Mm. But I don't think OnLive is a viable solution yet as a mainstream console.
Yes. Yeah, talking of Shinyverse said no, I wouldn't because I'm old and I don't like change. Furthermore, if everything goes digital download, imagine how big your hard drive will have to be in order to have your whole collection ready to play. Exactly what I was saying, mate. Or are you supposed to download the game every time you want to play it? If game distribution changes to be something like OnLive, it's Kaiser and Elmire.
I know, seriously.
Games on demand, then that makes for more sense. Still, I'd rather have a plastic case, a colour-printed manual, and a disc. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then manuals are disappearing fast.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm on most of the EA titles these days, it's a piece of paper. That is basically what the manual is now. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, next up, ParsnipNose 3000 says, if I want a game badly enough, I'll buy it, no matter how it's packaged. It's a pain that we won't be able to buy used and therefore cheaper games anymore, though. And with no competition, price drops may be a thing of the past.
You know, I think about price drops and you know, I think the model with Steam and we've seen like Xbox becoming more frequent with their sales and certainly PSN has also been doing it. I don't think that's going to be as big of a problem as you think. I think we'll actually see maybe discounts faster if everything was just, you know, available on, you know, on demand. I think we would end up seeing some digital sales happening a little more quickly than we would at the normal retail shelves.
Yeah, they'd be able to crunch them numbers and track them figures a lot better as well. So yep. They'd be able to – it's like the way Steam works as well. Surely they can like say, right, we didn't sell as many numbers of these as we should have done, and we've got to make some money on it. So there we go. We'll whack these down. Because we all know what if us fellas and gals who are into gaming let loose on a digital sale where you can sit in your living room and go, oh look, they've got that for a fiver. Oh, it's only a fiver. Yep. Next thing you know, you spent 25 quid.
No, exactly. Yeah,
that's how they get you.
That's how they get you.
That's how they get you.
Speaking of how they get you, Chris.
Speaking of getting it, Phil Thee says, I don't see a problem with this. It wouldn't stop me from getting it. But can you imagine how bad it's going to be getting the game at day one release? Downloading a few gig at midnight alongside everyone else, especially when they can't apparently cope with the multiplayer load for a normal disc release. I think the principle is fine. Whether the technology and infrastructure can support it is another matter.
You know,
that's a good point because I could see some servers crashing if it was like, all right, it's midnight on the East Coast and all of New York City is downloading Modern Warfare 17 and the internet exploded.
But see, this is where I see, like, a system like Steam is doing things to alleviate that. They're actually basically letting you start downloading the game basically the week before.
Mm.
They just have code set up to where you can't access it and play it.
Okay.
Until its release date.
So all of New York City downloads Modern Warfare 17 a week early and the internet blows up then instead.
Well, they can stagger it, though. They could, you know, they could stagger it out to, you know, when it starts downloading for certain regions.
You've got an answer for everything.
I try. Keep going.
Let's see. Marcanix says, it's GTA. Hell yeah, baby. Even if it came shipped on a custard cream, I would buy it day one. I think I might buy it before day one if it was on a custard cream. It sounds delicious. And David the Alien read my mind and says, custard creams, I'm hungry. Yeah, I would get it, but also agree with some very valid points stated before this. Hard drive space, different consoles, size of the file, and downloading issues at midnight, etc., etc.
We had some tweets.
Tweetily.
Yeah, so Mr. Peter Gibbons, we know him as Pete Red Dog on the old Twitter, said it's going to have to be a price cut, which it won't be. I'd rather make a stand at downloads costing the same as full retail discs. So I think we all pretty much are on board with what he's saying. If it's the same price as a full retail disc, I'm not on board with it. But if they're going to discount it and make it cheaper, then hey.
Yeah, even if they only chopped off like $5.
I'd want to see them at least take $10 off.
Of course you do. You want to get the games for free, but I'm just saying it's not going to happen, all right?
Mark Davies sent us a tweet. He sent in and said, yep, I have no problem with digital games. I like steelbooks, so I would still buy those. But digital, for everything else, no problem.
I can see you buying a steelbook with a little scratch-off card inside.
I know. last but not least, Daniel, we know him affectionately as Metric Pizza, said, I would, as I don't buy used or trade games, but only if a retail code is available. Direct download is too expensive. So I'm guessing, being that he is on Australia, he runs into issues with file sizes. So if it's a huge download file, he's going to end up having probably some major headaches with that, I guess. I'm not quite sure how the system works down in Australia. Maybe, Daniel, you can write into us and explain that a little bit better, because I would imagine if it was a retail code that made you download it, you would still be running into the same problem.
And, Daniel, can you also write in and tell me why everybody in Australia is called Daniel?
Yes, inquiring minds, we need to know. All right, that's it for the questions for this week, or I should say responses for this week. And question for next week. So Black Friday is just about upon us. If you're not familiar with Black Friday, I think you live in a box or something. But basically it's the
– not in the United States.
Well, everybody knows about Black Friday. Come on. It's Friday after Thanksgiving in the U.S., is now affectionately called Black Friday. All the major retailers do some crazy sales. Now, Amazon has jumped on not only in their U.S. store, but also in the U.K. They offer up these great deals, at least in the U.S., apparently not so much in the U.K. But, yeah, so with that theme in mind of Black Friday, and maybe you can take this to be maybe looking at Boxing Day in the U.K., because I think it's kind of a similar event. Do you take part in it? And if so, tell us why or why not. So Black Friday, Boxing Day, are you a big shopper on that day? And let us know, yes or no.
Only if my wife gets hold of me.
Come on, Rich, you're not going to run out and buy a big old flat screen TV on Boxing Day?
No.
A nice discount?
Because she wouldn't let me.
What if she did let you? What if she said, honey, we need a new TV, go for it.
I'd say I've already got
one. Save that response for next week.
Can I have an iPad instead?
Nah, nice. All right, it's time, Chris. Community play dates. Let's jump into it.
Let's jump into that. Right. So community play dates. Of course, everyone's playing Modern Warfare 3. A few of us are still playing Battlefield 3, so join us. Please join me. I need help. also, if you're out there and you want to do some Gears of War on Saturday morning at 9 a.m., somebody calling to arrange a Gears of War play date right now. 9 a.m. Saturday morning, I'm going to try to do some of the DLC Horde mode stuff. So I'm looking for four good gears if you want to join in for that. Right. Other things happening. Forza Motorsport 4 Hot Lap Challenge 2. A-Class Performance Index 596. Tune it yourself. Rally Depositano Full Circuit Reverse. The current leader is still Bongo the Sane at a time of 1 minute 5 seconds, 0.119. R3 Championship. This week, racing Road Atlanta Club Circuit and Circuit de Catalunya. Last week's winners, congratulations to the Cardinal, or Cardinal Jimenez, and Marcanix. Although Marcanix confessed to me that he only won because he crashed out Parsnip.
Cheater.
I know. So the standings of the championship are Ginge Ninj with 30 points, Marcanix with 27 points, The Cardinal and Parsnip Nose 3000s tied in third place with 25 points apiece. That's that.
That is
it. Is. Happy birthday to In the Brainy, Night Phantom, Underhand, Cyrus, Aldirk, Cardinal Jimenez, Jumbo Love, and DNR Perez. And welcome to the new members, Rico Jalapeno on a Steak, Cotamarl, Dark Snail, Gangu Crimes, and Blues Fox.
All right. Yeah, happy birthday indeed, and welcome happy to the new birthday. Members. Yeah, no, don't. community spotlight this week from our dear friend Parson Knows 3000. He wrote in, "Hey, peeps, this week I'd like to spotlight some of our most prolific game session hosts, namely Mark Canix, David the Alien, CP, and, of course, Ginge Ninge, who is hosting our current R3 Forza 4 Championship. And I apologize for the hesitation. I have a helicopter flying around my house right now shouting out, stay indoors. So if you hear gunfire or anything like that break out, just know that I'm probably not.
Really?
Yeah, really.
That's got to be freaky, man.
It's kind of a little unnerving hearing that going on. And I'm like, no, podcast.
Man.
Anyway, yeah. Real life, people. Real life. Anyway, so continuing on, he says, Ginge Ninge, who is hosting our current R3 Forza 4 Championship, I'm sure there are others I don't know about, so thank you to them as well. I should thank those of you who take a minute to invite our community members into your lobbies. Those few seconds really do make a difference. And they do. You know what? There's nothing like gaming with friends and a community to make your day or evening. He says, we truly appreciate those who set up and take the lead in this way, helping to make our community as vibrant as it currently is. Do us all a favor. Do the community a favor. Keep doing it. Thanks, guys and girls. Keep up those invites flowing. That was a horrible reading on my part, I must admit. But yeah. Okay, so iTunes and Zune review contest. So we have this little contest. Wanted to give away some game codes that we got to the community, but we wanted to make it kind of a new member thank you drive, if you will, and tie it into iTunes and Zune reviews. So new members to the Gate community had to post up an iTunes or Zune review, and they had to be a member starting anywhere from October 1st all the way up until today, which is still technically October 14th on my time.
No, it isn't.
Sorry, November 14th.
That was a month ago.
That was a month ago, November 14th. Did I say October 14th?
Today's the 15th.
We are out of control. We are spinning out of control rapidly here. So, that said, we have some iTunes reviews. I'm going to read out all of them. There are a few that are not qualifying because they are already old Gate members, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to get into that. We have our winners. We know who they are. We'll get to them shortly. Rich, I hate you. Lord Chancellor Parsip, he sent in a review on October 27th. And he said, these guys know their games and they know how to entertain. They tell the ugly truth if a game doesn't live up to its hype. Not only that, they never fail to make me laugh. Then we had Mr. Burial Worm, who sent in a review on November 7th. He said, I've listened to the last few of these podcasts, informative and funny without being over the top or obscene. Good way to eat the time between coffee and lunch at the office. And then we had PG Tips 77, and he typed in just simply, loved it, subscribed. Johnny Boy, he typed in, it's very good. Simple reviews. That's all we needed. They're all 5-star, by the way. I should point this out.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But then we had quite extensive review from Andrew Gould. And he wrote in on the 3rd of November. I love this podcast because I truly feel they represent the views of the community. The podcast is interesting, silly, and stupid. I'm not crazy about the stupid part, but he says, and I love it. Chinny still waiting for a music video for what you've been playing. imagining a zig and zag style zooming in and out kind of video. He says, Greg and Chris will have no idea what I'm talking about. I kind of feel like I know what he's talking about. I don't know, Chris.
I don't know who Zig and Zag are, but I have a vision.
I do have a vision, too, and it has to do with zooming in and zooming out.
I even have a dream.
They're puppets.
Okay.
Oh, I get it.
They're like Muppets.
Like Greg is a puppet and Skull is a puppet, but they're British puppets.
We are puppets, that's for sure. He continues on, there isn't any other podcast where I feel the community is valued so highly. Exceptional podcast, exceptional people. This is a podcast by gamers for gamers. Very well said.
We the gamers, in order to form a more perfect podcast.
Yes. Yes. Kevin Knight chimed in.
What?
Yeah. And he didn't read the fine print on the contest. He says, don't you hate it when you go into a bank for a great percent, you know, 0% APR deal, only to find out it's for new customers only? Question mark. It's a great podcast filled with loads of barks, film quotes, Smurf herding, and the occasional moth. That is a mighty big moth.
That's old school.
That is old school. Kevin's been around. It says, by far the best game-related podcast out there, even with the singing. And yes, Chinny, this does include veterangamers.co.uk. Take that!
Ooh.
Bam! And last but not least, fresh today, Shanty Dan 86 wrote in, hidden gem, great podcast for all your gaming needs. Listen most weeks, it never disappoints. My response to that is, most weeks? Come on, Shanty Dan. Most
clearly,
weeks.
Clearly he's missed some of the bad weeks. Like
yeah, he's missed those week. Hidden gems. But there we go. Those are all the reviews. So, the winners. First up, Johnny Boy. And he won Halo 3. So, if you already have this game, Johnny Boy, here is my comment to you. One, you need to contact us and get me your contact information so we can get the code to you. And you can simply email us at ocpodcast@gmail.com. But more importantly, Johnny Boy, if you have a copy of Halo 3, sell it back, do whatever you want, or you can give the code to somebody else or give the disc to somebody else. You've got some options, but it's yours to do what you want. And then Andrew Gould wins the second game code. And Andrew, hopefully you don't have Gears of War 2 already in your library, but if you do, again, you've got options.
Do what you like.
Do what you like. We'll work on getting a little more current prizes, but it was a nice step for us in the, you know, kind of dabbling into giving out prizes. Hey, it's free stuff. Come on.
Can't be free.
No, you can't. Okay. So
once again, let's just say thanks to Lakeside JWD for providing said codes.
Absolutely.
Well done, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you indeed.
Watch out for the Defense Grid 2 code coming your way.
Rich, I can just tune you out like I do my wife sometimes. You know that?
Whoa.
Just shuts you down, my friend. But Rich, this is an important question for you to answer.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is going to tweet us at the Twitter that you have taken over for your self-righteous bitching about Call of Duty 4 to Xbox support, where would they send that tweet to?
Did you see that?
Yeah. I did. My favorite thing, so just a side note here, sorry, totally derailing the podcast again. Rich, over the weekend, is bitching to Xbox support about the Call of Duty 4 servers and problems with all of the, you know, the games, you know, shenanigans and stuff. And then he's just complaining. Just a straight up tweet at Xbox support. You know, have you seen the way these servers look? Blah, blah, blah. Xbox support writes back, is there a question?
And then I says, sure, yeah. And then I went into detail about what was going off and everything. And then they sent me a link. They says, Well, if you'd like to read this, it goes into detail on how to sort this out. So basically, all they sent me were the terms of service and how you go through making a complaint through Xbox Live. And I was like, but how do I ascertain who the person that's modding is out of all of that the people that are playing? And I never got a response. So.
Yeah, there's probably no good answer for that. Just take a snapshot of everybody's picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, Twitter, what were they tweeting again?
I would like to point out, actually, before we carry on, that I do find Xbox support is quite helpful, actually. So
they are very helpful.
I haven't got any axe to grind. It's at @OC_podcast.
Excellent. And Chris, again, if they wanted to email the show, where would they send that email to?
They should send that email to ocpodcast@gmail.com. We didn't have any this week, so no. maybe we didn't read it out last week. So we'll make sure we read it out this week. ocpodcast@gmail.com.
Okay. And, of course, iTunes reviews, Zune reviews, we still want more, and we still can use more. We've got quite a bit in the UK, so U.S., you need to step up. If you're a U.S. listener, get us some reviews. Canadian, Australian listeners – we've got one of each, apparently. Maybe we've got more. If you haven't posted up a review, throw us one. Why not?
Is any more Daniels out in Australia? Come on.
There's got to be plenty.
I'm sure there's at least two more.
All right, shout-outs. Let's go. Rich, kick it off first.
I'll shout out Giant Bombcast and also 360 Gamercast for talking about Dark Souls a lot and making me going to play it. I also want to shout out you boys for keeping me company again and stopping me from going to sleep. It's a pleasure as ever.
Anytime we can keep you awake, we try.
I'd like to thank Mike Chin for going to France so he can come back partially French and I can hate him even more. I'd also like to thank the guy I can't find at the minute. Lofty B, yes, from G4TE, because he basically put a story up about he was playing with a couple of his friends and also his wife on Battlefield 3, and they were on the map with where you start on the cruiser, the aircraft carrier, yeah? So all right. you've all got to wait for a vehicle or you spawn in a different vehicle. So one of his mates bagged off in a helicopter. The other guy went off in one boat and he got in the other boat thinking that his wife was going to get on the boat. And his wife didn't get on the boat. So anyway, he didn't realise and she was actually sat in the same room, they're both playing in the same room. And I think she was waiting for something else to spawn, but it wouldn't spawn. So she was nagging him to come back and pick him up. And because he was near the flag that they were trying to take in Conquest, he refused to go back. So they started having a domestic and he made her swim. So she swam nearly all the way to the beach. And just as she was getting to the beach, she got shot. And, so then she put him in the doghouse and she took the huff of him. And then the following day, I think he normally picks her up from work and gives her a lift. And she sent him a text saying, don't bother picking me up because I've got somebody more reliable that's going to bring me home from work.
Oh, that is brilliant. Oh, yeah. Definite shout out to Lofty B.
Yeah, I like that. That's me, Doug.
Was a good story.
Chris. What about you?
I'll go next since Rich can't read. Damn you,
I can't
Rich.
See. What have I missed?
You missed all kinds of things.
I keep hearing blinking noises. What's that?
It's called Chris typing, actually. Peter Gibbons. I want to shout out to him because, Pete, I know the hip hop stuff, a little over the top. We're going to try and do you a solid this week. No hip hop and going out with a little style. So I will leave that at that. Shout out to Kevin Knight XXL. I want to thank him kind of overlooked that last podcast, so definitely apologize for that.
Yes. Chris,
yes.
I'll be there as soon as I can stop clowning around with the highlighting and the thing. This is terrible. So on a serious note, I want to shout out Marcanix, Skullthrax, Parsnip Nose 3000, and Henson 2003 because they are the ones that helped me get through Gears of War 3 on the four-player co-op. We started late Friday night and did a marathon into Saturday and finished it up. And especially Marcanix and Parsnip because they had to finish without me, and they were kind enough to come back later and do the last few chapters that I wasn't available for again to hook me up. So that was kind of them. Want to shout out the Stickman because when I asked who wanted to shout out, he said I should shout out my son. I said, well, I shouted my son out last week, so this week Stickman gets a shout out. And lastly, I want to shout out Big Smooth 8, High Class 1979, Detective Bird, and Gothic Mike. Today, I was listening to a little bit of Billy Joel on my iPod, and the song For the Longest Time came on, and it reminded me of an episode of The Couch Mercenaries when those idiots started singing that song. And I just laughed because it was funny. And so, Big Smooth 8, High Class 1979, Detective Bird, and Gothic Mike, you must do a reunion show. It is a moral imperative. And that's all I've got to say. Why? Because we haven't heard you in the longest time. How are you, Rich?
I'm tired.
You have an excuse. Greg was complaining about being tired. I was like, it's 3 o'clock.
Mike's shown as being a...
Who, Mike?
Mike's
in France.
Is he?
Or he's going to France, or he's going to be in France. Or something. Did you see the picture I put up of Sean destroying his birthday cake?
No.
I put it up in the forum. It was something else.
What'd you put up in the forum?
Exactly.
All right, Mark just sent me messages. You git bag, I'm at work. It was last week I was off. Okay.
Not Gears of War 3. We don't give away Gears of War 3. What are you talking about?
Not yet, although I'm thinking...
What do you think, we got freaking money or something?
We may want to, end of the year, maybe we can all chip in some coin towards a couple giveaways of like Xbox Live points or something. Who knows?
I can send you a copy of Surf's Up.
No.
Well done. Well done. I can give you a copy of Saw. Hold on. Let me go through my yard sale bin. I think I've got a copy of Avatar the Burning Earth in there.
Okay, so...
Wait, so you didn't record any of that?
No, none of that. Maybe some of it. Not all of it. Probably none of it.
Are you recording now?
Yes.
Okay.
We got some of it. Not all of it.
I'd gone back. Okay. Did the stuff sound all right when I was on about that it's not hard?
No, you know what? I want to get rid of the misconception that this is a difficult game. Start from there.
Yeah, okay.
Start from Jump Street. Suddenly don't feel like it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All that domination talk gone to waste.
Man, enough freaks to stop this man.
Andrew, I like quibbling. I'm very anal.
To go. I like Quidditch.
Alright, here we go.
And chicken.
So we had a little iTunes Zune and contest. I'm watching Rich type away here right now.
No, Greg. I don't know.
Yeah, no. I'm going to tell you. Rich, stop typing. He's good to go. Yes, we're all good to go. So iTunes and Zune reviews, we asked new members from October 1st up until today to post in a review and make sure you remember the site. And so we are good to go with it. Rich, just stop typing. Really, please, stop it. Stop it. You're killing me, Smalls.
What the fuck is that plopping noise?
That's what? Chris.
What?
The what? That kind of noise?
What?
It's no, him. It's him. Like going, like somebody's going, that.
What?
I just heard silence.
Yeah, so did I.
You know, you put your thumb in your mouth and you go, bloop.
Oh.
I think you've gone mental.
What?
That. Chris.
What?
What?
That noise.
What noise?
Fuck off, you're shitting me now.
No, we're dead serious, man. We're not hearing any noise.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The sound on your end? The only noise I ever hear is Chris clicking on his goddamn laptop.
I'm sorry.
That noise! That fucking noise there, what is it?
Me saying I'm sorry?
There's something going off here. Hold on.
Sorry that it's a quality laptop with a serious mouse that clicks.
A serious mouse? You've got fingers that are like hammers.
That's freaking. I'll show you freaking hammer fingers. Five-finger Sonic Death Monkey Punch.
Must have been on one of my windows. I'm sure it is. I've shut them all down now and it's not plopping
yes,
anymore.
It was on your windows.
I really thought you was taking the fucking piss, man.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk yeah. about
See,
RPGs. Many
people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.